Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Coming up in this hour, mystery. Later on, we'll hear the Mole Mystery Theater, but right now, the story Deep Into Darkness on Suspense, starring Douglas Fairbanks Jr. First heard on CBS on July 22, 1948.
Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Mr. Douglas Fairbanks in a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Today, everybody's switching to Autolite, and tonight, Autolite takes pleasure in presenting
Anton Leder's production of Deep Into Darkness, starring Douglas Fairbanks.
This is a story about fear, and I'm an expert on fear. Me, Ken Matthews. That cheap, broken-down hotel room is as good a place as any to start. It was all I could afford. New York, the city of bright lights, and me, stretched out on a squeaky bed, watching a spot change shape on the ceiling. It's a kind of game to keep a man from going crazy. For 7 years, I watched another spot, changed it into a million shapes, got to know it better than I knew myself. That spot on the ceiling of my cell at Joliet Penitentiary. When it was over, when they were finally ready to let me go back into the world, the warden had something to say to me, some advice.
Matthews, you're leaving us early because of your good behavior record. Now, if I were you, I'd start fresh on the outside. Stay away from Chicago. Go someplace new where they don't know you.
I sort of figured on doing that, warden.
Good. You'll find it easier.
I'd find it easier. I wonder how it is when it's tough. Nobody knew me in New York. Nobody wanted to know me. And as for a job, well, did you ever wash dishes? I washed a million. Now, any dirty jobs nobody wants to do, I did them all. That's how I built up my fortune. $17.50, United States currency. That's how much I was worth this one morning when I saw a sign out in front of a construction job. Men wanted, the sign said. I believed it. I looked up the form.
Bill, what's that compressor? Come on, Jim, keep it moving.
Looking for something, bud?
Yes, you have a sign out there. Are you hiring men?
Could be. What do you do?
Oh, just about anything. I can keep books, handle your time. I used to be an accountant.
Oh, yeah?
But if that's not what you're looking for, well I can swing a shovel, too. I just want a job.
I like that attitude. Got your discharge certificate with you?
Discharge?
Yeah, honorable discharge. Always like to give a break to ex-service guys.
Oh, well, I wasn't in the service.
Yeah, oh. For it?
No, I sat out the war. I was in jail.
Oh, it's tough. Hey, got a little mixed up in your account, huh?
No, it was manslaughter. I killed a man. What about the job? I really need it.
Look, buddy, I don't want you to think this is my idea, but...
But you can't use me.
No, I can't. You see...
Yes, I see. Start fresh, you see.
I got my orders. See, you know how that is. The bosses figure there's a lot of vets looking for jobs. I got to give them the first crack at things. Oh, well, if I was to...
It's all right. It isn't your fault. Maybe some other war. Somehow that was the last straw. I started to hate. I hated everything and everyone. And then I thought of my fortune, my $17.50. And suddenly I knew there was something I wanted to buy.
What you want to use the gun for, mister?
I don't know. I just want to have it.
Well, we're supposed to put something down here. I mean, along with your name and everything.
Oh, well, put down target practice. That's good enough, isn't it?
I guess so. What's the name?
Put down Smith.
Smith. Oh, it's like that, huh? Look, mister, I don't want to get into any trouble. I run a respectable place of business here.
You want to sell the gun, don't you?
Well, sure, but...
You want the $14, don't you?
Okay. So it's Smith. And you're going to do some target practice. Give me the $14 and get lost, huh?
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Funny thing. I still don't know why I wanted that gun. I swear I don't. Kill myself? Rob a bank or a filling station? I haven't any idea. I suppose I just thought that having it would make me feel better. Only it didn't. It hung in my pocket heavy as lead, cold, dead, just like its owner. I turned into a side street, 52nd, 51st, I wasn't sure. I stopped to light a cigarette, and a car pulled up to the curb. It was a big car with a chauffeur, a black car, smooth and shiny. Then I looked at the man getting out, just one look, and wheels started spinning around in my head. I got dizzy. The sidewalk twisted and bounced around like I was having a convulsion. But when he spoke, the shock of hearing his voice straightened it all out. Made it cold and clear as hard crystal. Just a few words to that chauffeur.
Wait for me, Davis. I won't be long.
He turned and walked past me, right by me into the bank. But he couldn't walk. He couldn't do anything. That was Lee Burke I was staring at. Lee Burke, the man I'd killed 7 years ago.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Mr. Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. in Deep Into Darkness, Autolite's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Looks like young Doug's got it, eh, Billy?
Boy, I'll say he has. What a chip he's got in his shoulder.
Billy, stop chipping and chirping like your mother.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. as Ken in Deep Into Darkness, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Of watching a man walk across the sidewalk into a bank, I lived it all over again. The way it happened when I killed him 7 years ago back in Chicago. There wasn't anything about it I couldn't remember.
Ken, darling.
Yeah?
Do you love me, Ken?
Do I love you? Oh, no, not at all. I just sit in that goofy nightclub night after night because the food's so good.
Oh, Ken, you're sweet.
Lila, why don't you forget that place? Give it up. Where's it going to get a girl like you dancing in a cheap honky-tonk?
You have something better to offer, darling?
I've offered it a half a dozen times. Marry me. I got a good job. It'll get better.
Hand me my drink, will you?
Sure. Here. What do you say?
I've told you, Ken, over and over again, I'm not getting married. Not to you, anyway. You're a sweet guy, sure, and I'm very fond of you, but little Lila isn't burying herself in any house with a bunch of squalling kids. That's for suckers.
I don't think you mean that at all.
No? Well, you just watch, darling. I'm going to wind up with a diamond so big it'll take a 2-ton truck to deliver it to me. I'm going to have so many mink coats, I'll use them for pajamas.
Yeah, that's the way to talk, sis. You tell him.
Hello, Lee. Oh,
you're beginning to sound like you're getting good sense. Now, what are you doing up here with this bookkeeper anyway?
And a good evening to you, too, Lee.
Never mind. I thought I said I didn't want you wasting your time with him.
He's all right.
Get out of here, Matthews.
Now, wait a minute. If Lila wants me to go...
Oh, not satisfied with my suggestions, eh? Well, I've a good mind...
Lee, stop it. Put that gun away. Every time you have a few drinks, you start waving that gun around.
Really, Lee, you better put it down. Stop acting like a kid.
Acting like a kid, huh? I'll show you who's acting like a kid.
Give me that gun.
Lee!
Come on, Lee. Give it to me. I'll break your arm.
Go, let's go, Mike.
It went off. I was only trying to take it away from him.
Oh, you killed him. Ken, you killed my brother.
I didn't mean it, I tell you. You saw what happened. I was only trying to get the gun.
Get out, Ken. The police will find you. Get out of here. Hurry, I tell you. Get out!
I got out all right in a hurry. It was pouring that night, and I ran down the street with the rain slapping me in the face. I ran up a back alley into the darkness, and then I stopped. I didn't want to run, not for the rest of my life. I went to the nearest police station, turned myself in. They took me back to the Burks, and we found Lila sitting in a chair, glassy-eyed, just staring down at her brother, Lee. He was right where I'd left him, sprawled on the floor, face down. and a big red puddle was ruining the rug. Lee Burke was dead, and they gave me 10 years for killing him. Only now he wasn't dead. He couldn't be. I'd just seen him walk into a bank. A nice car you got.
Yeah.
Must be an important man to have a car like that, eh?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Lots of money, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, he's crawling with it. Does that make you happy?
His name, it doesn't happen to be Burke, does it?
No, Wilson. Oh. Keith Wilson. He also happens to be a stockbroker. Anything else you want to know?
Keith Wilson.
Yeah, now beat it. The boss is coming.
The boss? Now, isn't that something?
All right, Davis. I'll go straight to the office now.
Yes, sir.
In a hurry, Lee?
What? What? Oh, there must be some mistake. My name isn't Lee.
Oh, pardon me. But it was Lee. There wasn't any doubt about it. And he knew me, too. I could see it in his eyes and in the way his face went white. I didn't understand it. I couldn't figure out why or how, but Lee Burke was alive. The rest of the fortune went for a taxi ride, but it was worth it to me. And I guess if I hadn't had enough money to follow Lee's car wherever it went, I'd have forced the cab driver with that gun I'd bought. But it wasn't necessary. We went out to Long Island. Way out. And then the car swung into a place with a big half-circle drive. Lee Burke, now Mr. Keith Wilson, was doing very well for himself. And so was Lila. What's the matter, Lila?
Ken.
Is it like seeing a ghost?
Ken. Ken, it's really you.
I saw a ghost just now, too, only he was very much alive.
So that's what he was so excited about.
Lee?
Yes, he came in, rushed upstairs. Told me to call the airport, get him a plane for Miami.
Did you?
Not yet.
It won't do any good.
Ken. Ken, what do you want? Why did you come here?
I just wanted to be sure, Lila. Absolutely sure.
What are you going to do?
I'd like to kill him. I ought to kill you both.
No, Ken. Don't talk like that. It wasn't me. I didn't plan it.
But it was a plan, wasn't it, Lila? Wasn't it?
Yes.
You want to tell me about it, or do I have to choke it out of him?
I'll tell you. What's the difference? You didn't kill Lee. You didn't kill anybody.
Huh?
It was a frame-up.
Then how could I have seen him like that? Lee was on the floor, dead.
No, that wasn't Lee. He found a man, Ken, a stumble-bum, a drunk, and the man looked just like him. Close enough for what Lee had figured out. It was the crookedest scheme you ever heard. Took out insurance with every company in town, $500,000 with me as beneficiary. He was going to kill this drifter and disappear, let me collect the money. It was as simple as that, at first.
Keep talking.
I told him it wouldn't work, Ken, that they'd never pay off, not that much. Not till they checked fingerprints, teeth, everything, but he had that figure, too. They wouldn't check a thing if a fall guy pleaded guilty to a murder charge.
So that's how it was.
You were the fall guy. I let you take me home that night, remember?
I remember.
Lee had his gun loaded with blanks. It was an act, the whole thing. Then when you ran, he finished the job. He had the drunk in the bedroom, dressed in his clothes. He brought him into the living room. Killed him right in front of me. That's who you saw when you got back.
Good Lord.
That's why... Why, I hate my brother. Why, I don't care what happens to him.
Thanks, Lila. That's going to make it easier.
Lila? Lila, just call the airline.
No, Lee, not yet.
But I told you not to waste any time. You don't know what this means.
She knows what it means, Lee. We all do.
What do you want? Why'd you follow me here? Hey, look, I think you better get out of here.
I'd stay away from that telephone, Lee. I'd stand still if I were you.
You'd better do as he says, Lee. He's got a gun.
Ken, listen to me. Can't do this. Not now. You don't want any more trouble. Why, if the police found out...
The police? If you told them I was going to kill you, it wouldn't make sense, Lee. Because I've already done that. Remember?
Oh, look, Ken, look, I can explain the whole thing. It was a mistake.
I'm glad you know that now.
I've made a lot of money, Ken. I've been very lucky. I'll split with you. You look like you could use some money.
Yes, I could.
Sure, that's good. Only forget the gun, huh? And... stop acting like you want to kill me. You wouldn't gain anything that way. Come on, Lila, fix some drinks or something, huh? We'll talk this over friendly-like. Ken, you know Lila was always crazy about you.
I was always crazy about her.
Oh, Ken, I...
But let's talk about something else right now, Lee. Let's talk about America.
Sure.
You know, this is a wonderful country, the way the laws are set up to protect a man. Ever hear of double jeopardy, Lee? Brings up a rather interesting fact. That you can't try a man twice for the same crime. 7 years I spent paying for killing you. 7 years at Joliet, and you weren't even dead. That means I've paid for something I haven't done yet. I still have the right, Lee, to kill you once more.
Oh, now, Ken, stop it. You're talking crazy. There must be something you want.
I only want to kill you, Lee, because you deserve to be killed. We both know that, don't we? Only, I don't think I'll kill you now. Not right away.
Oh, we'll be reasonable. Is that it, Ken? Be reasonable, I say.
I'm going to stay right with you. 24 hours a day, right up to the time you deal. I know exactly when and how I'm going to kill you. And you won't know. You'll never know, Lee, until it happens. You'll just wait. Just sit and wait and wait. I never left the Burke's mansion, never let them leave. I was with Lee from the time he got up until he went to bed. I stayed with him every waking hour, and I never stopped twisting his life like a piece of putty, putting fear in his mind until there didn't seem to be anything else left there at all, just a trembling, driving fear in everything he did, everything he said.
Lila, can't we do something? Get to somebody.
Oh, Lee, what can I do?
You could have said something to the servants. You had a chance before he sent them away.
I didn't. It all happened too fast. Got rid of them as easily as he cut the telephone wire.
Well, we gotta do something. Get in touch with somebody. With Madeline, maybe.
Oh, yes? What will your blue-blood fiancé think of you now? When you suddenly stop calling 2 days before your wedding. And then don't show up.
The wedding? Oh, Lila, don't you see? If anything should happen to the wedding now, I'd be ruined. Oh, he can't get away with this. He'll let down sometime. He's gotta sleep.
So do we.
Lila's right, Lee.
Oh, Ken, you were there by the door. You heard.
About your wedding? Yes, Lee. I got back just in time, didn't I? Can I pour you a Manhattan?
No, I don't want anything.
Your funeral...
No, don't say that.
You're falling apart much faster than I thought, Lee. It wasn't taking long at all. Lee couldn't sit still for a minute. Couldn't take his eyes off me. Of course, little things like this didn't exactly help.
Who is it? Ken?
Yes, Lee. It's Ken.
Got the gun?
I have the gun, Lee.
Oh. This is the time, huh?
No, Lee. No, I don't think so. Here. Drink this.
What is it?
Milk. Warm milk. It'll put you to sleep.
Yeah, for good, you mean?
No. Just until morning. You see, I wouldn't think of killing a man on his wedding day.
What?
Don't tell me you've forgotten your wedding to the blue-blooded Mr. Haven. You've come a long way, Lee, marrying into the social register.
Oh, don't, Ken.
Come on, drink up. You'll need your strength for the wedding.
No, that's all off. I haven't even called her, Ken.
Lila has. I made her call. She made some very pretty excuses for you, and the wedding will go on as scheduled.
What are you going to do?
Nothing, only behave yourself tomorrow. Do as you're told. And you might live through the ceremony.
Wilt thou, Keith, take this woman to thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy state of matrimony? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee unto her so long as ye both shall live?
Say no.
Ken.
Say no, or I'll kill you right here in front of them all. Say it, Lee.
Mr. Wilson, the answer, please.
No. No, I can't. I can't.
Wilson, please, I can't. The answer. This must be...
One thing wrong with that little wedding scene. I had fun, sure, but in the excitement, I'm afraid I relaxed a little. I wasn't sure how much it mattered. That depended on Lila. When I was sure Lee was asleep that night, I met her in the living room.
cut right to the point.
Something on your mind, Ken?
Yes. Mousy. Who's Mousy?
Ken, you look so tired, so thin.
Tell me, Lila. Tell me about Mousy.
What do you know about him?
Lee's been talking about him in his sleep, talking about Mousy and you, Lila, and me. You'd better tell me all about it.
Ken, you're hurting my arm. I don't know anything about Mousy.
Maybe he was there at the wedding. Maybe you saw him. Maybe you gave him the message. Did you, Lila?
Ken, stop it. You know I promised I wouldn't do anything like that. Don't you trust me?
Trust you? Should I, Lila? Do you really think I should?
But you know how I feel about you. Surely you don't think... Oh, Ken. Ken, darling.
Get away from me.
Ken! So that's it. It was all just a gag to keep the little girl in line.
How did you expect me to feel after all this happened?
That's right. I was naive, wasn't I? Sure. Okay. Well, I won't be naive anymore. You can bet on that.
Lila.
Good night, Ken, darling.
When I cooled off, I realized I'd gone too far. She wouldn't be on my side anymore. Unless I could talk to her again and make it all seem like a mistake, a joke, maybe. Yeah, that'd be the thing. But when I went to find her, she wasn't around. I didn't see her again till next morning. Every morning, I went out to the gate for the paper, but this time I waited for Lila to get up and come down so I could talk to her before Lee came in, try to fix things. And standing there in the hallway, I fixed things all right. Fixed them good. Lila.
Yes?
I want you to know that, well, that I'm sorry about last night.
It's all right.
No, it isn't, no. No, I didn't mean what I said at all. I guess I'd built up so much hate that, well, I was upset. I was blind to how you feel about me, how I really feel about you.
Ken, you're asking me to be naive again.
Yes, I guess I am. I like you that way. I looked for you last night to tell you. You weren't around. Where'd you go?
Oh, Ken, I...
No, it's all right. I don't care where you went. Anyway, now you know how I really feel.
Ken, you don't know what you're saying.
Yes, I do, Lila. I've been thinking. That's the way it ought to be. We've been a couple of lost souls, but maybe by forgetting the past, trying to find some peace of mind...
Ken!
Think about it, will you, Lila? I went out then, out the door and down the driveway. Left her standing there, staring after me. But suddenly, as I was almost to the gate, I heard her coming, running, fast.
Ken! No, Ken, come back!
And then I saw it, a car that had been parked down the road. It was moving now, gathering speed, coming right past the gate.
Ken! Ken, look out!
And then she was there. She threw herself right in front of me. I heard the shouts. I felt her thrown heavily against me, and then her body went limp in my arms. I held her close for a second, and then I... lowered her to the ground. I walked back up the drive, alone. Lee was out in front of the house, sitting on a bench in front of a big tree. He'd heard the shots, I'm sure, but he was just sitting there, probably waiting for Lila to come back and say that Mousy had taken care of me. He turned and looked up as I walked toward him.
Lila? Oh, no.
His eyes seemed to look right through me somehow. He was that full of fear, I guess. His fingers gripped the tree in back of him, dug deep into the bark. He was waiting for me to kill him. Lila's deadly. Your gunman got her instead of me.
Lila? Lila?
I'm sorry because there was something I didn't have time to tell her. I never intended to kill you, Lee. I was just showing you how 7 years looked crowded into a few days.
7 years?
Yeah, that's right. I guess you know now. I guess you know why and what you did. Lee. Lee, this is Ken. I'm talking to you.
Ken? Ken? I don't know any Ken.
And he didn't. He didn't even know himself. The way his eyes looked, I don't think he ever will again. They weren't Lee Burke's eyes anymore. They belonged to someone else. Funny. The man who tried to be somebody else had finally made it. And it was not good to look upon.
Thank you, Douglas Fairbanks, for an outstanding performance on Suspense. And now, here again is Mr. Douglas Fairbanks.
I've enjoyed this appearance on Suspense very much. And I've noted with great interest, as a Suspense fan, that Agnes Moorehead will return to the soundstage next week, the scene of her splendid performances of the past. As one of the many who applauded her portrayal in the suspense classic Sorry, Wrong Number, I'll be listening with anticipation next week for Agnes Moorehead in The Yellow Wallpaper, a powerful study in
suspense. Douglas Fairbanks may soon be seen in his own production, The O'Flynn. Tonight's suspense play was written by Edward James, with music composed by Lucian Morawick and conducted by Lud Bluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Miss Agnes Moorehead in The Yellow Wallpaper.
This is the Autolite Suspense Show signing off. Good night. Switch to Autolite.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
A CBS broadcast of Suspense, heard on July 22, 1948. Douglas Fairbanks Jr., the star in his only appearance on the Suspense series, from the very same year he was starring in the Oscar-nominated motion picture That Lady in Ermine, alongside Cesar Romero and Betty Grable. This is Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levinier, bringing you an hour of mystery. We now close with the Mole Mystery Theater and the story Triangle of Death. This NBC episode first heard on March 28, 1947.
Now, the Mole Mystery Theater, presented by M-O-L-L-E. Mole.
Good evening. This is Jeffrey Barnes, welcoming you to the Mole Mystery Theater, the program that presents the best in mystery and detective fiction. Tonight's story by Joseph Ruskell is entitled Triangle of Death. One of your favorite radio stars, Elspeth Eric, will play the leading role of Carol Wade. Carol Wade faces death. But whether it is her husband or her sweetheart who intends to kill her, she doesn't know. Yes, a strange and terrifying dilemma. A triangle of death.
Well, Mr. Barnes, some triangles may turn out badly. But you know, when it comes to shaving, here's one trio that always gets along. A man, his razor, and Mole. And now for tonight's Mole Mystery by Joseph Ruskell, Triangle of Death.
$10 You've changed.
How low can a guy get?
Now, please, I can explain, but not here. What do you...
Never thought I'd catch up with you, did you? Mrs. Carol Wade.
How'd you find out where I live? What are you going to do?
What do you deserve? I'm bleeding for you. Got a swan song for a sucker?
Now, look, I'm warning you. Get out of here. I'll call my husband. Peter! Peter!
Call him again. He's not here, Angel. Both of us know it.
Why, you...
My name's Tony Morell, remember? Let's see, what was yours when I met you down in Miami last year? Miss Carol Meadows, wasn't it? When your lips took me over the barrel for your gambling debt.
I meant to pay you back someday.
Yeah, that's why you took it on the lam. You know, it was silly of you to have posed under your maiden name, you little two-timer. I was bound to catch up with you.
Who told you?
How blind can a guy stay? Even with a crush.
Put down that gun, Tony. You'll burn for it.
Not me. Two other guys.
Tony, no. No, please. Please.
Go ahead, relax. Take a good look at it, pretty face. And thank heaven the torch still burns.
What?
Because this gun is the only thing that can save you from the undertaker. You gotta kiss it for luck. Back it goes.
What are you talking about? Are you crazy?
I've elected myself your bodyguard, said he, examining his head. So stick close to your sucker from here on in, baby, because someone is out to kill you.
What? Who?
Who? Character I met only an hour ago in a little dive I just opened about 75 miles down the road near Saratoga. Small world, huh? We're neighbors. Hilo Cafe. Does that ring a bell?
That was the name of your nightclub in Miami.
Yeah, the one you cost me.
Oh, stop playing with me. Who was this?
This character? Well, in he walks, see? This utter stranger. Or a fast one. And I join him. A few drinks later, he tells me he's a Sawbones on a call nearby. And this and that.
Doctor, did you say?
Yeah. Why so pale, Carol? Anyway, I give him the old wheeze about this one thing the Sawbones can't cure, a broken heart. Rum chummy, see? So he pumps me with a bedside manner, and I admit that I'm still carrying a torch for a worthless little tramp who played me for a chump last year. A Carol Meadow.
Who was he? Stop torturing me. Who was he?
You guessed it, your husband, lady.
Oh, no, God!
Wait. That slap I ought to cut off your hands. I dreamed about him around my neck again.
Get out! Get out!
How deaf can I get? Okay, you little fool, but you better get out with me. I'm telling you, your life is in danger, understand? He's going to murder you when he comes home from making his rounds. He's got like a wild man. He gave me a blueprint. That's what I've come to warn you.
My Peter... Oh, sure. Oh, you cute man. You cute liar. Can't you think up a daffier story to get me back?
Now look, you gotta believe me. Come away
you
from
me. You know, that's
here.
What I fell for down in Miami. Your deadpan way of telling him tall and windy. Oh, I wasn't kidding, Tony. I was pretty wild about you. But I had enough of men like you when I was in the chorus, so I came to my senses.
Look, Carol, I'm telling
my
you.
My husband loves me. He wouldn't harm a fly. Now, you get out of here fast.
Okay. Your funeral. Oh, by the way, about that murder blueprint. Your husband's coming home early, see? He's going to suggest a little ride in the car for the air. You're not looking so good. He's going to suggest Sunset Cliff. Look at the sunset. He's going to push you off that cliff accidental. How careful can a guy be?
My little wife. Oh, gosh, it's a rich feeling. Ah, come here there. Fly to my arms, woman.
Peter.
Hmm?
Did you stop for a drink or something?
Cookie, I'm still drunk with love after 3 years. Can you beat it? Yeah, the honeymoon will never be over with us. Bet? Now, give me a little here. Cookie, where should we go this afternoon? Darling, what's the matter? What's wrong? Don't you feel well? You're not looking at it. Sure?
Yes, fine.
Well, good. Me, I'd like to stay home. It's all the same with you.
Oh, yes. Let's. Oh, Peter, I feel so good now. Golly, the silly things that have been upsetting me today.
What things?
Oh, little trifles around the house, tradesmen, you know.
Made you irritable?
Yes, that's it. But now my man, he's come home. Doctored it all the way, and it stopped pounding.
Pounding?
Yes, my headache.
Headache? You've had a headache, too?
Well, no.
Well, you've been outdoors at all today.
No.
Well, cooped up in here all day, that's bad. Now, there's nothing wrong with you that a little fresh air can't cure. How about a spin in the car?
No!
You are irritable. Why not? Why'd you jump so when I suggested
it? I don't know.
Just nerves. Now, come on, then. Do as the doctor says. The car's parked in front of the house, and let's go for a little spin. then the ozone. Aren't you glad to be alive?
Where are we going?
Oh, for a little drive. What's the diff, Cookie?
Peter, where are you taking me?
Say, what's gotten into you? What on earth's the matter?
Where are you driving to?
Well, I don't know yet. Just follow our noses. What's wrong, Carol? You suddenly afraid of accidents?
Stop the car!
What for?
Look, there's a drugstore. I have to make a phone call. It's important. I forgot it. Please.
All right. I'll come in with you.
No, you just wait here. It'll only take me a minute.
Will the hustle it, Cookie?
Yes. He's waiting for me in the car. Look, I'm in a phone booth, and you were right. He is taking me out for a ride. I just can't believe it. I'm all mixed up. I mean, it is just a ride. I did say I had a headache. What if he hasn't got any idea of taking...
What's keeping you, Carol? Who are you phoning?
All right, Lola. I'll try to run up and see you right away. Bye.
Lola? Your friend Lola Jennings?
Yes. Look, Peter, if you want to know, that's why I was so upset today.
Oh?
Yes, she phoned me this morning. She's in a bad way about something.
I see.
I mean, she sounded so desperate, I was worried.
Carol, was it really Lola you were just phoning, or the Hilo Cafe?
What?
Well, then he hasn't tried to contact you, and all along I really thought he's the reason you were so upset.
Who?
Well, it's a good thing I'm in time to warn you. I meant to earlier, but it's so frightfully delicate.
Warn me about what?
About a man who's in town looking for you, a man you seem to have met in Miami last year, Tony Morrell.
Tony?
Yes, I bumped into him this afternoon in his cafe. It seems he's just opened it, and I happened to drop in for a drink, and he sat down at my booth and introduced himself, and, well, he got a little plastered, and without knowing who I was at first, he told me something about you and him.
Peter?
Oh, it's all right, Cookie. I know the whole story. He fell in love with you, period. Who wouldn't? No, I admit it whammed me at first.
Oh, Peter,
I'm sure it was just one of those harmless vacation romances, and, well, the fool read more into it than I was there. Cookie?
Of course. Oh, honey, absolutely nothing more. I always meant to tell you, but there was really nothing to tell, and telling it would have made it sound like something.
Of course, sweet. I know how a thing like that could happen, but, Carol, this Morrell fellow seems to have taken it really hard and blubbered all sorts of threats.
Threats?
Yeah, said he'd be a fool not to get revenge. Said he'd somehow lure you to his cafe where he'd kill you.
What?
And there's only one way he wants to kill you. With a poison martini.
Poison martini? Why?
Search me. He's crazy. He acted like a wild man.
Oh, Peter, I'm scared. Peter, save me from him. Don't let him come near me.
Now, don't worry. If I ever hear of him trying to bother you, I'll strangle him with my bare hands. Well, let's get rolling, Carol. Hmm? Put some color in your cheeks.
Peter, you've gotten so moody. You really forgive me, or was that all just an act?
Or was it just an innocent summer romance? Constant Penelope?
Do you, Peter, do you?
Life is short, isn't it?
What?
I said life is short. A laugh, a tear, and sunset.
Sunset.
Of course, I forgive you. You're my wife, aren't you? Period.
Peter, where are you driving me?
That record again. Just to town and back. What do you keep asking?
Town, that's the other way.
Huh? What other way? Say, maybe I can be a bit more imaginative than just town and back. Maybe we ought to turn around and go the other way at that.
What?
Yeah, that brings us to Summit Cliff.
Summit...
We can go there and watch the sunset.
Peter,
like
no...
we used to. Oh, come on. Humor me, Carol, if you really love me. What's wrong with the cliff, our old haunt? Why act up? Carol! Lost your tongue? Oh, I would run out of gas and right at the foot of the climb, too. Yeah, lucky though, there's a filling station. Hey there, gas! Hey, anybody there? Oh, wait here a minute, I'll go around some.
I'm here. you, you little fool. You want to die?
You want me to, Tony? He told me plenty about you. Go away.
Lion. I was right. He is headed for the cliff, isn't he?
Yes, but it was common, ordinary sea. Perfectly natural from the conversation.
Carol, for...
We've often come here to see the sunset plenty of times. Beat it. I don't want him to find you.
Bill, don't trust me. Then listen. Something else I remember. Something else he said. He was going to shoot you on the cliff so you wouldn't put up a struggle. And then push you off.
What?
Okay. Ever known him to carry a gun before?
No, never.
You want to watch me frisk him? You'll believe me?
Oh, go away, please. Here he comes.
Okay. How far can you drop?
Fill her up, huh?
Right, Doc.
Girl, who were you talking to just now?
Huh?
That car that just grew up.
Oh, he wanted to know where Highway 22 was.
Mm, I see.
You got a cigarette, Peter?
Sure.
No, yeah. Not that pack. Didn't you have another brand?
Huh?
Let me look, darling. Wasn't it in this pocket?
Huh?
No. Oh, and this one.
What are you talking about? What brand?
No, it's not there either. I'm sure I saw you with...
You're having a good time. Now, let's empty all my pockets. I like this game. Here.
No.
Here, any more?
No.
No more? Then how about my undershirt?
I don't know what made me think. You haven't got one after all. Have you, Peter?
Well, if you want the strangest...
Okay, Doc. Just
14. All right. Here, keep the change. Now, little wife, let's climb that hill, and take a look at that sunset. Yeah, some climb. Almost there, huh?
Peter, it'll never happen again. I know I've wronged you, but I've died a thousand times
for it.
It's
too late. The sun's gone down. Let's go to the top, anyhow.
Peter, please believe
me. It's getting dark. If it went for that phone call of yours...
Listen to me, Peter. Are you harboring it against me?
Don't be a stuck whistle. How many times do I have to reassure you? I've forgiven you, period. I've even told him that. When he made those threats against your life and called you what he did, though you deserved it. You deserved it here.
No.
I think I'd have killed him then and there if I were the type that carried a gun.
Oh, I wish you were. A murderous snake like Tony.
I love you in spite of what you've done. We'll do again.
No,
and I told him that. I even told him I was going to court you all over again and start by making the trip this afternoon to Summit Cliff.
Oh, then that's how Tony...
Yes?
Nothing. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't know we were coming here. We even started out the other way. What's funny?
Well, here we are at last. Say, talk about elevation. Just look down there. Does it make you dizzy?
Peter, answer me. How could you know
that? Cookie. We were coming here all the time. I meant to from the first.
But you started the other way.
Just to throw you off.
What?
I was playing with you. I had a special reason for bringing you here today.
Special reason?
Very. What do you suppose I came home early? Don't lean against the door. You're just 2 feet from the edge and it's a 200-foot drop.
What was the special reason?
This. You know what today is? Now, see if I haven't got a memory like an elephant. 3 years to the day that I first told you I loved you. No, you wouldn't remember, but it was right here at Sunset Cliff when we were... Yes, when we were watching our first sunset together.
Oh, Peter. Oh, you great, big, thoughtful old kid.
I ought to kill you. And...
Oh, it's so lovely. I can't get a good look at it, though it's gotten so dark.
Yeah, I'll light a match.
No, wait a minute. There's a flashlight in the car someplace, isn't there? Yes, you keep in the side pocket here. Oh, Angel. The snake's...
Give me that. Give me that. And get over.
I don't want any accident.
You get out of the whole time!
Who wants to protect you?
You said you never tell me.
Here, you fool.
Stop
it, Doc. Drop it or I'll thrill you. Oh. Okay, babe, quick.
Come back.
Get in there.
Come back here.
Nine lives. How many can you burn up? Have we shaken him yet?
I don't see his car anymore.
Oh, he's lost us. He won't drive very fast with a bullet in his hand.
Still can't believe he had it in him. Played with me just like a cat with a mouse. Tony, you saved my life.
Well, then, come here.
No, no. But I am grateful, Tony. It's all been like a nightmare all day. Ever since you came in the door, I didn't know who to believe. But now I know he was
just
about...
Close your eyes. Kiss me.
Mm. Wonderful. I think.
Yeah. We can stop off somewhere.
Somewhere? Where?
Well, I don't know. How about the Hilo Cafe?
Why there? I mean, why wait till we get there?
For sentimental reasons. Remember the Hilo in Miami? When you first gave me the eye? Miss Meadows? It cost me my innocence that shade of mascara. I should forget. So let's drink the old times, huh? Slipped something in and lammed it when I passed out. Martinis, wasn't it?
Oh.
Yeah, I'll fix your martini. Wait here.
Lola Jennings, she's terribly ill, Tony. I forgot. I'd better go to her.
Not so fast. How about our drinks?
How'd you get them so quick?
I gave Joe the order when we came in. Yeah, take it.
No, I'm...
Yeah, take it. Come on, I'm free.
No, I...
You didn't need coaxing in Miami. Take. Yeah. Now let's click glasses like we did then. Click. That's it. Now, bottoms up. Drink, come on. Why are you shaking?
No!
No? So don't. Put it down. What do I lose?
I'm on to you. I'm on to you, Tony Morrell.
Oh, get a load of her.
Get out of my way. I'm going
home. No, you don't. The curtain's for you. You nuts. You didn't see his gun?
It was meant for you, and you know it. I can see it now. It's Peter I should have listened to. It's you that wants to kill me, and he was trying to save me. Yes, he warned me. Every stop he said you tried to get me here to the Hilo Cafe. Well,
sure, I told him I would, for old time's sake.
He said you'd offer me a martini.
I told him that, too.
And you'd poison the martini.
He's a liar. You fell for that? It's he who's been working overtime to rub you out. He gave me a blueprint. I haven't proved it. Saved your life. You still don't believe me?
No.
No? Well, by gosh, you will.
Put that gun away.
Don't believe me if I have to put a slug through that brass heart of yours. Now pick up that glass again. Pick it up. Good. Now put it to your mouth. Put it to your mouth. Drink it. Drink it.
Out dead, then we die.
This is Jeffrey Barnes again, bringing down the final curtain on tonight's Mystery Theater presentation of Joseph Ruskell's Triangle of Death. Be with us next week when we present a modern, hard-hitting, thrill-packed detective adventure entitled The Squealer. Meet Whitey Burton, a man who betrayed his friends to save his own skin and walked thereafter with death at his shoulder.
The original music for the Mystery Theater is composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Elspeth Eric, Joseph Julian, and Paul Potter were featured in Triangle of Death. Any similarity between the names and characters used on this show and any actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Theater presentation, The Triangle of Death by Joseph Ruskell, came to you from our Radio City studios in Radio City, New York. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
The Joseph Ruskell story, The Triangle of Death, featured on the Mole Mystery Theater, heard on NBC on March 28, 1947. That wraps this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVillier. Thanks for listening.